Morning, Tamidim. This week's Pasha, Pasha's Mishpatim, is a continuation of last week's Pasha, Pasha's Yisrael. The Manal mentioned it already. And Rashi, Pasha's Mishpatim, asks a question. Ve'ela ha-Mishpatim, the Ve'ela devav, devav Moisef. It seems like it's a continuation. And these are the Mishpatim, Ashtozim of Nehem. Dr. Rashi, that just like everything that was mentioned in the Pasha's Yisrael, Ma'ar, Shoen, and Misinai, everything that was mentioned in the Pasha's Yisrael was given over to Klal Yisrael on Har Sinai, so too everything that you're going to learn on Parshas Mishpatim is also given over in Har Sinai. It means everything is the foundation of Klal Yisrael. Don't look at it as two separate Parshas, Parshas Yisrael, Parshas Mishpatim. It's all one long Parsha with the Yisoidus of Yiddishkeit, the Yisoidus of our Torah that was given over in Sinai. And Rashi continues on to say, talks about the Mizbeach. Why is the end of last week's Pasha the Mizbeach, and now starts the Pasha of the Dinim, the Pasha of the Halachas? So many ask a question. Question is, what's the Havamina that it shouldn't be in Sinai? What's the Havamina that only Pasha's Yisrael should be in Pasha Sinai? That Saris Adibris and the Mizbeach should be set over in Sinai? And Pasha Mishpatim is set over somewhere else. Why would the Havamina be that there's two different places where the Torah was given? So first let's understand the last pasuk of last week's Pasha. It's a nuance that is one of the Yisoidus of Yiddishkeit. The pasuk tells us, and we know today, it's also an art that's a bit lost. The concept of a respect to others. Respect is something that's higher than us, on a higher level than us. Even peers, the concept of respect. Amal used to go see a special person, you would go dress a special way. You would come see a Rav, you would put on Big Day Shabbos. You would come to Yeshiva to meet the Manal, to meet the Rabbeim, come to PTA. You make sure you take out a nice suit, make sure your hat is brushed, no dust on it. You're coming to see a Rebbe, you're coming to see an Adam Gadol. Such a concept. Today, the world of casual, the world of comfort, overpowered somehow the world of respect, the culture of respect. So if I'm comfortable wearing it, I'll wear it. Okay, so who cares if it's not exactly a suit? Okay, so my hat, it's not always so comfortable. Okay, who cares? I leave it in my car. There's certain areas of respect that's getting lost, that's being dropped. And that's something which the Torah tells us, this is something that's very important. Don't ever drop that. Don't ever drop that. The Chiddush Rim asks, why would I think that the Parsha of Avodim is something that's not said in Sinai? And Parsha of the Mizbeach, Lesalam, don't build steps, create a ramp. That is said in Sinai. Now what's the purpose of the ramp? The Kohen Gadol is wearing the Shemoyne Begadim. He's coming to do the Avodim in the Mizbeach. He's fully dressed up to do the Avodah. He's coming to the most halix the place and doing the Avodah. So for sure, he's fully dressed, special clothes. Yet for one object, he's underdressed. For the floor, for the stone on the floor, he's underdressed. He's dressed up for everything that's above the floor, but the stone that's on the floor, if he would have the time, he would wear a robe. Right? You know, the Shemoyne, the Begadim, the Mill, There wasn't Avnet, he wasn't ringing a bell. But Lamaisa, the stone gets to see the Kohen Gadol underdressed, not overdressed. So the Pasuk tells us such a sensitivity, such a nuance, that when the Kohen walks up to Mizbeach, don't make steps. Because when he's walking up the steps, the stone won't get to see the Kohen dressed. For him, it will be an underdressed. So make sure you make it a ramp, so he doesn't get to see the less becoveting part of the Kohen. It is such a powerful nakuda here. The stone has sensitivity. The stone is a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the stone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the stone, so that means we have to be respectful to even a stone. In Parshas Mishpatim, we start off respecting an Eved, even an Eved that Nebuch did something wrong, an Eved Ivri. If you have only one pillow, you have to give it to the Eved. If you have one blanket, you have to give it to the Eved. You have to take care of the Eved. That someone could think, you know what, that makes sense to me. It makes sense that I have to be caring. It makes sense that I have to take care of someone. That makes sense to me. A stone? to be careful with the sensitivity of the stone? That doesn't make any sense to me. What's a stone? A stone is nothing. A stone is something that we kick around. So the Chiddush HaRim, no. Just like the Yesoides of sensitivity comes from Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us how to be sensitive, what it means to be sensitive, what Tznius means, what Helikite means. So too, the rest of your life, everything, the way you deal with others, shouldn't come based on what you feel is sensitive. It should come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us that Sinai is sensitive. You know what? I feel bad for this person, so I'm going to do. Does the Torah tell us to feel bad for that person? If the Torah tells us to feel bad for the person, that's why we feel bad for the person. Not because I decide who I want to feel bad to and who I don't want to feel bad to. So that's chat in the pasuk over here. Just like the sensitivity to a stone, which doesn't really make sense to us, that's where you have to provide sensitivity, was said over in Sinai, so too every mitzvah that we do today, every sensitivity, every level of respect, everything that we do today, we should do, having a mind that we're doing it because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us in Har Sinai. We're not doing it based on our own feelings, on our own thinking that this is respectful. Whatever our Rabbeim teach us, whatever our Rabbanim teach us, whatever the Torah teaches us, that's the sensitivity that we should have. Don't make cheshbonos on your own. You have cheshbon you want to make, should I be more sensitive here or not? Discuss it with your Rebbe, discuss it with him to make sure that's coming from Misinai and not just personal feelings. To be able to bring a comparison, a muscle of current events, that we could try to understand this a bit better living in 2026. I want to discuss Sunday, this past Sunday. Many of you know, this past Sunday, L'Misparim, the English date was February 8th. In the world of sports, it was a very big day. It's a very big day. The day is called National Fly a Kite Day. It is a national day where this sport gets played in many cities, many states, different places. Hundreds of people go out and they fly a kite. National Fly a Kite Day. It's not only played in Santa Clara, California. It's played in all the cities, all over, wherever, they play this game. It's a hobby, it's a sport that they play. They have competition, who can go higher, who can last longer in the air, and it's the weather also depends on the weather and the winds of how far the flight is going to, the kite is going to fly. It's a big, big sport that a lot of you are aware of. National Fly a Kite Day. Shaila is, why did they make a day as a National Fly a Kite Day? What's the purpose of that? You know, someone wants to fly a kite, go fly a kite. Someone wants to hit a ball, you hit a ball. Someone wants to catch a ball, you catch a ball. Why make a whole big national day for it called National Fly a Kite Day? The terrorist is, today, when someone tells someone else, go fly a kite, usually, it's not a positive thing. Instead of saying, get lost, instead of saying, get out of here, you say, go fly a kite. Go fly a kite. What does it mean? What does it mean, go fly a kite? Why do they refer to someone, instead of saying, get lost, go fly a kite? Because in order to fly a kite, you have to go out in a field where there's no one there, there's nothing there. Go away, go as far as possible away. Go, there's no people over there, there's no trees over there, there's no wire. Go somewhere as far as you can't really go fly a kite here in Devon or on California Avenue. There's no really places to go fly a kite. It's going to get lost, it's going to get broken. In order to fly a kite, you have to go very far. So today it was adopted. If someone annoys you, someone gets on your nerves, you tell them, go fly a kite. That means go as far as possible to an empty area. So it's not a good thing to go fly a kite. Yet, where does the fly a kite originate from? Where does it come from originally? Where did they start with flying a kite? The Teretz is, many, many years ago, hundreds of years ago, could be even more than that, the Chinese, I think it was the Chinese, that came up with a method of sending military messages. Back in the day, they had spies, and they still have, but they needed to send military messages. So they didn't know how to send this message. And they figured out that if they can create something that can fly very high, and I can predict where it's going to fly, that we could somehow connect a message to the kite and drop it off where we want the message to get dropped off. So the original kites were made out of bamboo sticks, thin bamboo sticks, that the wind still moves around, and they can cheshbon out where exactly the wind, based on where the wind did that day, they can cheshbon out through the mathematical and scientific methods, they can figure out exactly where the kite is going to fly, so they can send a message and they can relate back and forth messages. That form of communication throughout the years changed. We don't need to send messages through kites anymore. They have more updated ways of sending messages. The military today doesn't have to rely on kites. So the purpose of the kite got forgotten of as the culture, as the world changed, as the world of technology changed. The concept of a kite changed as well. So now the kite that was originally made for transporting important information for the military became almost non-existent, no purpose of it, just as a sport. So the sport enthusiasts decided that they have to make a national fly a kite day to realize that there is purpose to the kite. It's not just something holding a string and to remember the purpose of the kite. Understanding that if a person feels that the mitzvah of today, if a person thinks that the mitzvah of today is based on how we feel, what we think is important, why we think we should be sensitive to this person, and why we have to add extra sensitivity to Evet, then the culture and the world changes, so our sensitivities could change as well. The Torah tells us, your sensitivities towards others, your mitzvahs, are not a kite that fly with the wind, the way it comes and it goes. Our mitzvahs were established in Sinai. Amar Shoyin Nemri B'Sinai, just like the first passage of history, all the mitzvahs were said in Sinai. And you don't understand exactly the reasoning why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to do it. It's the foundation of Yiddishkeit. So too, everything that's in Parshas Mishpatim, the sensitivity to the Eved, which you think you're doing it because you understand what it means to be sensitive. No, you're doing it because that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you, commanded you in Har Sinai. Because that's what we need. It's a prerequisite to Zion on El Chiyit. It's a powerful lesson. Everything that we do is not based on our feelings. Everything that we do is not based off culture. Everything that we do is based off the Torah HaKadosh that was given to us in Har Sinai. All the menhagim that we have, all the mitzvahs that we have, everything is a direct result of the mitzvahs that were given in Har Sinai. A short story to finish off with Reb Cheskel Abramsky. He was once giving a shiur for Balabat, and also highlights the story in a more uplifting way. Reb Cheskel Abramsky was giving a shiur, and he was giving a shiur on this pasuk, how to deal with Eved Ivri. And if you only have one pillow, he said, you give that pillow to the Eved. You only have one blanket, you give that one blanket to the Eved. And one of the Baal Batim got so upset, he said, it doesn't make any sense. What does it mean? If I buy an Eved, he's my slave, he's my servant, I should give him my pillow? This doesn't make any sense to me. And he shut his Gemara and left the Beis Medrash. This doesn't make any sense. And he left. So the next day, he came back to the Shir. So Chatzko Abramsky asked him, why'd you come back to the Shir? Yesterday, Shir didn't make sense to you, so you dropped it and you left. What happened now that he came back? So he answered, now we understand Pshat. If the guy only has one blanket and he only has one pillow, he doesn't really have any money. He's nani. He goes and he buys a slave? He goes and he buys luxury? So come to him, Mr. Schlafen, with a pillow. He doesn't deserve to sleep with a pillow. He doesn't deserve to sleep with a blanket. He doesn't deserve it. You don't have any money. Why are you going? I'm buying an Eved Ivri. Why are you buying an Eved? You can't afford it. Don't buy it. You did? Then you should sleep without a pillow. So here you have a person that everything has to make sense to him. When it doesn't make sense to him, he shuts the Gemara. Oh, now it makes sense to him, he opens up the Gemara again. For us, it doesn't work this way. For us, we know whatever doesn't make sense to us, that was given to us in Har Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it makes sense, and that's the ingredients that we need to be in Am Kadosh. So everything that we learn, whether it makes sense to us or does not make sense, we understand why we have to do it or we don't have to do it. It's a direct Messiah, Moshe Kibbutz Torah, Messinai, and it's coming down generation to us. And nothing changes, and nothing will change, because the culture may change.